One day, an IRS auditor named Harold Crick wakes up to discover a voice in his head. A female voice, narrating his life. It's the premise of the film Stranger Than Fiction, starring Will Ferrell, Dustin Hoffman, and Emma Thompson. To the best of our knowledge, producer Doug Gordon often says he hears voices in his head, so he seemed like the perfect choice to produce this story about the screenwriter behind Stranger Than Fiction. Zach Helm talks about the art of screenwriting.
It took Zach Helm a while to develop the premise for the Stranger Than Fiction screenplay.
I called Lindsay Duran, who I had been friends with for a long time and was a producer of another script of mine. I called her immediately and I said, Lindsay, I have an idea for a movie. There's a guy who wakes up and he has a narrator. And she goes, oh, that's really funny. I go, yeah, isn't it? She goes, yeah. She goes, but it's not really a movie. And I sort of laughed and I said, okay. And a couple weeks later, I called her and I said, okay, he has a narrator and the narrator is narrating the minutia of his day and therefore ruining his day.
Harold just counted brush strokes.
All right, who just said Harold just counted brush strokes?
She goes, that's even funnier and it's still not a movie. And then a few weeks later, I called her and I said, okay, the narrator is narrating his life and then it says he's going to die. And she paused and she goes, okay, that's a movie.
Dave, I'm being followed.
How are you being followed? You're not moving.
It's by a woman's voice. She's narrating.
Oh.
Harold couldn't concentrate on his work.
I can't think while you're talking.
You have a voice speaking to you.
About me, accurately, and with a better vocabulary.
Harold found himself exasperated.
Shut up!
Cursing the heavens in futility.
No, I'm not. I'm cursing you, you stupid voice! So shut up and leave me alone!
Once Helm figured out the storyline, he still had a lot of work ahead of him. Especially since he didn't write the scenes in the order in which they appear in the film.
I try not to be precious about the words. I try to find the right ones, and, you know, sometimes that means I have to fail. I have to make mistakes. And so I allow myself to do that. And in the process of that, I just sort of stayed in touch with Lindsay, and I would call, and I would say, one of the characters is Harold's wristwatch. And she goes, oh, that's fantastic. What does it do? And I said, I don't know yet. I haven't written it. Yeah. Or I would call and I would say, okay, there's this woman and she's an anarchist, but she's a baker. And she goes, oh, that's fantastic. What role does she play in the story? And I said, I don't know.
Helm's story is about an IRS auditor played by Will Ferrell. He's trying to track down his inner narrator in what is one of the most original and intelligent films in recent years. Hey, I just got a great idea.
For a moment, Doug Gordon entertained the notion of having a narrator describe what he was doing as he put together this story. But then, Doug Gordon realized it was a bad idea.
After Harold's narrator informs him that he's going to die, he tries to get help from Professor Jules Hilbert, played by Dustin Hoffman.
Question one. Has anyone recently left any gifts outside your home? Anything, gum, money, a large wooden horse?
I'm sorry?
Just answer the question.
No.
Do you find yourself inclined to solve murder mysteries in large, luxurious homes to which you... Let me finish. To which you may or may not have been invited.
No.
On a scale of 1 to 10, what would you consider the likelihood you might be assassinated?
Assassinated?
1 being very unlikely, 10 being expecting it around every corner.
I have no idea.
Okay, let me rephrase. Are you the king of anything?
Like what?
Anything. King of the lanes at the local bowling alley.
King of the lanes?
King of the lanes. King of the trolls.
King of the trolls?
Yes. A clandestine land found underneath your floorboards.
Anything? No.
Huh?
No. It's ridiculous.
Agreed. But let's start it ridiculous and move backwards.
Professor Hilbert advises Harold to find out if he's in a comedy or a tragedy, which led me to wonder, does Zach Helm see his life as a comedy or a tragedy?
I look at my life as being, you know, it's been a comedy recently. I tend to look at my life, I think, through a very optimistic viewpoint. As far as the story was concerned, we knew that we were having to walk a tightrope between comedy and tragedy. And part of the fun for me was if I could make a film in which the audience didn't know if what they were watching was one thing or the other thing. And to try to pull that off is sort of the big stunt for us, to to see if we could really get audiences invested in both kinds of stories. And so because of that, what's great is that I still hear reactions from people who wish that it ended differently.
Huh.
Or, you know, wish that something else happened or whatnot. And more than it just being critical of the film or being negative about the film, it's really about them being invested in one story and one sacrifice more than the other, and their personal inclination towards comedy or tragedy. So you actually learn a lot about people based on that reaction.
Helm originally studied theater. After executives from the Fox studio saw Helm's play, they invited him to join Fox 2000, a year-long development program in which Helm received a weekly salary, and everything that he wrote became the property of Fox. This was back in 1998. In just 2 weeks, Helm wrote a screenplay sample called Mr. Magorium's Wonder Emporium. It's the story of a 243-year-old toy store owner who leaves his business to a young, insecure manager. Unfortunately, there was a personnel change at Fox 2000, and the studio brought in a new screenwriter to rewrite Helm's original script.
That was heartbreaking because it was my first script, because it meant so much to me. The idea that somebody else was writing my baby was very, very difficult for me. And without losing any sense of grace, Fox 2000, trying to be diplomatic, actually sent me a ham as compensation. I think they felt bad and they thought I was handling it professionally, I guess. It was around the holidays. And I realized that I probably was not in the place that I actually wanted to be as far as my career. And so not only did I stop allowing my scripts to be rewritten, but I knew that I couldn't rewrite other people as well, that if I felt this horrible about what was going on, there were other writers out in the world whose work I was massacring. So turnaround is fair play.
Helm has tattoos on both of his wrists. The tattoos are solid black bands or cuffs between 2.5 and 3 inches thick. They serve as a visible reminder of the separation between Helm's work and his life. Why is that so important to him?
I am constantly trying to be as critical as I possibly can of the work that I'm doing, not in a negative way necessarily, but hopefully in a very honest way. And the best way that I can do that is to detach myself from the work itself. I don't necessarily look at the act of writing as being a form of creation necessarily, as much as I feel as though I'm interpreting or playing or experimenting. And in order to do that, I have to be able to step away from the work a little bit. And so it's sort of a nice reminder that I am not necessarily made of the things that I write.
Whenever Helm submits a screenplay, he also includes a CD full of music that acts as a kind of soundtrack for the reader. This is not something most screenwriters do.
I find screenplays to be a very difficult medium in which to create an environment or an ambiance for a reader or an audience. They can be a little blueprinty. And as much as I can, I want to try to create something that will evoke emotion from whoever it is that's coming in contact with it. So if it's a reader, I want to make an experience for them beyond just the words on the page. So part of that is the CD, which will have songs which sort of match or invoke the emotions that are going on in the scene or work as score or what have you. It started because of a script that I wrote a few years ago called The Disassociate, in which there was a dance number, of all things. And the joy of the dance number was that it was to a song that really shouldn't be danced to, which is this Donovan song called Barabajoggle. I'm a huge Donovan fan. I have no idea what any of his lyrics ever mean. Here's Barabajoggle, which is a very fun, silly song, and this couple is dancing to it. And I knew that the scene was sort of funny when you read it, but if anyone was familiar with Barabajoggle, it was really funny. And I couldn't count on everyone reading the script knowing what Barabajoggle was. So I decided, well, I'm going to put that on a CD so people can listen to it, and then they'll know, and then they'll understand how the scene actually works. And when I did that, I realized that what I was doing was trying to create the sort of environment around the reader, and that it was only going to flesh out more of the script if I did that.
Truth is more time. Sleep.
Zach Helm is the author of the screenplay for Stranger Than Fiction. The screenplay has been published as Stranger Than Fiction, The Shooting Script. To the best of our knowledge, producer Doug Gordon spoke to Helm. And don't be surprised if Helm's screenplay is nominated for an Oscar. Zach Helm recently finished directing his first film, Mr. Megorium's Wonder Emporium, based on his first screenplay. That movie is scheduled to open in November.